Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray that we would surrender it today, Lord, that we would just offer it to you. As a holy and living sacrifice. Lord, even our grossest and nastiest sin, those things that even Ashley was talking about for our children, Lord, that we would just lay that before you. And Lord, it becomes a holy sacrifice because of what you do with it. So Lord, we make our prayer in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. So as we just want to look at today, this idea of encountering obedience for us and what that really means, I know that's we don't like words that are demanding, do we? We don't like words that seemingly don't give us a lot of options or that sound heavy-handed. And anytime we talk about obedience, the first thing I think of are our animals. Anybody send your animal to obedience training, and how well did that work out, right? I think the Lord thinks about that that same way about us sometimes. He wants us to be obedient because he knows what's better and good for us, and yet he looks at us and go, what happened? Where did that training go wrong? And today, as we look at this idea of, hey, Dallas, I don't have sermon notes. I did, but they're gone now. This idea that Jesus is going to talk to us about, it's going to be the parable of the sower, which sounds kind of weird and kind of odd to talk about when we think about obedience, but I'm going to get there because it really talks about surrender also. And then when you think obedience is a hard word, you've heard surrender all morning already, and I think that's even worse. Why in the world would we want to surrender to anything? And this idea of surrender, why would we want to give up? Why would we want to act like a loser if we want to be victorious in Christ? The magic touch, thanks. So you can get the sermon notes today. And by the way, I will hardly ever say this because it sounds like I'm bragging and it's certainly not an egotistical statement or whatever, but I think the Lord really wants to do something with this teaching today, and there's so much more online because I can't give it all to you right now. There's just no possible way, and so there's more online. So if you want to get those notes and you want to dive into that some more, highly encourage you to do that so you can text the word notes to that phone number right there. I'll leave that up for a minute and I'll come back to it, or you can scan this QR code as well. Let me put the phone number back up there just for you. And so this idea of surrender really does, let me just give you a quick analogy of what we're talking about here, maybe more of a metaphor. And so if your life is full, okay, just think about your gas tank on your car and just relate that to your life. If you already have so much going in your life, if your tank's already full and you're about to go on a journey and you know that you're going to need more gas along the way, there's no way you can put more in your tank when it's already full. It's just going to run out onto your car and onto the ground and cause a mess. In our lives, for us to put something in sometimes, we have to take some things out. And some of those may be good things, and some of them may not be good things. Some of them may be bad habits or just routines that we have. And so we have to surrender sometimes some things in order to be victorious in others. And that's where I want to talk to you about today. And we're going to talk about this idea of the parable and the sower so we can encounter obedience. And parables, Jesus taught in parables for some reasons. And it's interesting, parables are interesting to me because of how they function supernaturally. Jesus taught in parables, and here's the reason why. It's because if you are in a place in your life and in your heart and your walk with Christ, and you hear a parable, you hear a teaching of Jesus, and your life is ready to receive that, and you're ready to understand that based on where you are in your walk with Christ, then you're going to get it. If you're not in a place where you're ready for that, if you can't handle it, if you can't be a good steward of it, then you're not going to get it. And God knows. He's the one that knows your heart. He knows what your desires are. He knows what you're looking for. And so when he teaches, he makes that apparent. So that's this idea of a parable, is how God sees you and how he knows you're ready. He knows your willingness. He knows what you're willing to surrender and how you're willing to obey. You're going to teach others about it. Right? Are you just going to have it and just waste it away? Or are you going to have it and you're going to use it? That's what this idea of the parable of the sower is all about, in a stage process. And are we ready for that? Are you ready to take that next step? I hope that you are, because I believe that God has something great in store for each and every one of us. And so let's see, seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and it immediately sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched in a thriving metropolis called Lubbock, Texas, right? And some of you may have never even been on a farm. You probably have never driven a tractor. You may have never planted anything in your life, and so that's okay. Some of you may have never even dug in the soil and got dirt under your fingernails. And to that, I say you're missing out. So this idea that, but you've seen it, you see it all around us. So I just want to point out one major difference to talk about this parable of the sower is what we see are tractors and plows, and on those plows are planters. And so the way we plant, there's a tractor going along. It's pulling a planter behind it that is also a plow. It plows up the ground. There's a little mechanism on the back that drops seed in the ground in the little furrow that the plow makes. And then there's another sweep behind it that covers it up, and it's all done. That quick and that easy. And now it's so smart, the machinery is so smart that it has a little sonar on the back of the plow, and it tells you how deep the seed is in the soil and all these great gadget things, okay? Now then, in Jesus' day, in biblical days, planting was entirely different. Here's how they planted. Here was the ground, they threw seed everywhere, and then they went and they got the donkey and they got the plow, and they plowed the seed into the ground. Totally different. And so when you hear this parable, you have to think about that and how this worked, because on a tractor, you don't go down the turn row and plant seed. You don't plant seed on a dirt road. So we don't even understand this, okay? No seed gets on the shoulder of the highway when you're using a planter. It just doesn't happen. But it did on this, in this story, in this idea of people that were planting. They just threw it everywhere. And I know they tried to keep it off of the side. They didn't want to be wasteful, but it did go that way. And so here's this understanding that I need you to hear, is this first point. Okay, the first point, and I've already said it to you just a little bit, is don't you understand? Are you listening? Or are you hearing? There is a difference, right? Come on now, right? How many of you in your relationship, somebody said, you're not hearing me? There's laughing going on over here. There's a married couple. I can't see them, but I promise you they're married, right? Or they've been married. They know. You're listening, but you're not hearing me. See, Jesus is saying, he who has an ear, let him listen. No. Let him hear. Let him hear what I'm saying. So this understanding is, this is why it's so important, is if you can understand what we're about to talk about, then the key to all the other parables begins to open up. Not going to get into all of those. Maybe we'll have that series. That would be fantastic. But for today, just know that here's the key to understanding, okay? When we understand that the Word of God is not something that is just written down on paper, but it's actually living, It's actually alive. It actually works. And it is actually, listen to me, it is the Word, but it's actually a relationship. It's actually His communication back and forth to each and every one of us. And if we're not hearing it, we're not in the relationship. So this living Word is so important that we need to stop looking at it like we can analyze it and study it. I know that I say we study the Word. I know I say, I have Bible software. I have just oodles and oodles of books. Spent lots of money on all those things. I mean, school to try to learn and dissect Scripture and look at it and everything. But here's what we should be saying, is that instead of me trying to analyze the Word is analyzing me. I didn't get an amen. Maybe you didn't hear that. The Scripture is analyzing me because it is alive. It's the relationship. It's looking at me and it's talking to me. It's seeing where I need to change and I need to transform. It's speaking to me. It's not me speaking to it. And realize that when it speaks to me, that there's areas I have to surrender to. And let me just say this as a side note. Don't just read the parts that you like. Don't just read the parts of Jesus that make you feel good. Don't just read the passage of Scripture that inform your own understanding that align with how you believe and how you understand. Read the parts that you disagree with. Not so that you're going to change Scripture. Praise God, you're not going to change Scripture because He's not changing. It's us that has to change. And so when we find places that we disagree with, He's looking for us. When you find a passage of Scripture that offends you, I'm getting off on a rabbit trail here. Just hold on. When you find a passage of Scripture that offends you, you need to adjust. That's all I'm going to say about that. We might be here for quite a while. So when we plant, when you have this idea of planting, the planter is God. He's the sower of the seed. And the seed is His communication, His Word that is supposed to grow and transform us, that is supposed to inform us, supposed to analyze us, and so we can grow and that we can be different in Christ Himself. And so how you see that and how you live that out, these different areas of soil, this is where you have to start listening, okay? And so we're just going to kind of go through this just a little bit at a time and see these different areas. And so look at this. This is starting in verse 13. This is the second part of Jesus talking. And He said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the others?" The sower, okay, sows the word. These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown into them. Okay, so what does that mean? Who is that for us? Which one of you do you feel like are this idea of you're sitting, the word is thrown, it's out there for you, but suddenly it springs up and it never takes root, okay? Well, what does He say? He says, in our daily routines, right, in our the way that we live our lives, when the word comes to you, when the word is there, does it get planted, but it's not incorporated into your daily life? When the word gets planted and it gets sown, are you just hearing it here on Sunday, or are you taking it out and you're trying to learn more about it and you're trying to make it apply to your life? That's where He's talking about right here, because when a person doesn't understand the Word, and I don't mean that you have full knowledge of it. I don't mean you have full understanding of it. I don't mean that you could take it and you could do what I just talked about and dissect it to everybody and talk about this and this and, well, this Greek word or this Hebrew. I don't mean that. Understanding the Word is just applying it to your life. I don't fully understand the Word, but yet I apply it to my life, and as I do, I change as I go along. And where I don't apply it to my life, I have to change and go along. See, this understanding, if you don't apply it, it's going to get stolen. I know nobody in this room does this because you all are the best Christians in Lubbock, Texas. No other church does like y'all do. When you leave, you talk about it in the car, and you go to work and you talk about it. You talk about it with your children. You apply it to every place in your life. You said, oh, on Friday even, you're saying, oh, I remember Pastor Matt said so-and-so, so I need to do this. I know all of y'all do that. It's perfect. Make me feel good. Awesome. But if you don't do that, then if you're like one of those other churches in town, I'm not going to point any names or fingers at anybody, but when they leave, they get in the car and they turn on FMX. Hallelujah for FMX. Did I get a witness in the house? Okay, there we go. So, I mean, you turn on FMX and you forget everything that's been said. You don't worry about it until next Sunday. You have no idea where your Bible is. You don't even know if you even own a Bible. You pray here, but you don't pray any other time during the week. See, for those people, the word gets stolen and it's ineffective. I know that's none of y'all, but it happens. Thank you. Bring significance to my poor little life. No, see, that's what this is. That's what that soil. If you are that soil, then you're never going to experience the reality of God's word. Other seed, let me get to it right here. Am I there? Yeah, in a similar way, these are the ones who seem was sown on the rocky places, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with joy, right? And they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. What does that mean? Woo, that is a good sermon. I love that. That's wonderful. And I'm gonna pin that on my Pinterest, and I'm gonna snap that sermon chat, and I'm gonna that quote that Matt had. That is wonderful. I'm gonna make a little slide with a beautiful background, and I'm gonna put that on Facebook, and it's gonna be really good. But by Tuesday, you have forgotten all that, and you're not worried about it anymore. That's what this joyful receiving is, but it's not deep in your life. It's not a part of you. It's not transforming you. It's not changing you. You're not bearing that fruit. Okay, it's like putting fertilizer out in Lubbock, Texas, but you don't water it. You put all that fertilizer out on Saturday, and you don't water it on Saturday night or Sunday or Monday, and then what happens on Tuesday, at least once a week in Lubbock, I don't know, it's this stuff that, I don't know, it goes like 60 miles an hour through town. Oh, it's called wind. And it blows all that fertilizer away. That's what this is. That's what this is, where it's not down inside of you. It's not deep inside of you. And these roots, by the way, here's the characteristic of roots. Okay, if they're that deep, boy, that sun comes out and it's gonna scorch and kill whatever that is. Okay, if you don't water it constantly, I mean constantly, it's not ever going to survive. But roots that are deeper, and where you have to water and you work fertilizer into the soil, and you every year you add nutrients, and you add all the different things that you can buy at the nurseries, and you keep that soil good, and it's mulched really nice, and it's dark, and the roots can take hold of it, and the roots get bigger and bigger and bigger and better and better and better, and they're not on the surface, they go down deep. That's the roots you need. That's the roots you talk about. Because if you don't have those roots, what does it say? It says, when trouble, when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. Why in the world, where are we? Why in the world would you have affliction and persecution because of the word of God? Let me just ask you this, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you be have affliction? Why wouldn't you have trouble? Why wouldn't you have a disagreement inside of yourself because of the word of God? It should be a given. Why is it a given? Because really, it's the world. Satan, I just came to this Wednesday afternoon. I can tell you everything that was happening and what was going on when this came to me. It was fantastic. You know who desires the word of God more than you do? Satan himself. Why wouldn't he? He was with God. He knows the word. He knows the grace. He knows the mercy. He knows how powerful it is. He knows how wonderful it is. He can't have it. He can't apply it to his life. But he wants it more than we do because he knows. He can do everything he can to keep you from it. He can't have it, but he can keep you from having it. He can steal it away, as Scripture says. He can distract you enough. He can do all of those things because he knows how good it is. When trouble comes, sometimes we just say, I don't want to have that conflict. I don't want to have to talk about this thing. I don't want to have to talk to somebody about Jesus. I don't want to have to talk about my faith. I don't want to have to stand up for my faith. And so it's better if I just ignore that and move on. See, you think you're just ignoring it and moving on. And what you're really doing is you're moving on and it is dying. It's becoming ineffective in your life. Still others are like seeds sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but in the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things, enter in and choke the word. There's another word for that worries, and it's the word cares. It's the word cares, and it's right here. This is the Greek word for that worries and cares. This is so powerful. This is where I wanted to land today. This is why I think we need to hear this today, is when the cares of this world come in, right? It says, when the cares of the world come in, and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things, choke out the word. Why is this? The word cares, it really does mean that which divides a person. It divides our own being. That's the word. When we care and we have worries, it divides us into parts because we start having conflicts. Some of you know what I'm talking about because you have the word of God and then you have the worries and cares of the world, and they don't line up together. They're just competing with each other. You have things going on in your life that are competing for God's time, for your thought processes, for the time that you give to other things. It really is. When Satan makes you doubt, he's trying to divide you from God's word. He can't do anything to change God's word. You've heard me say that he has no power to do those things, but he can divide, he can distract you and make you worry about these things and therefore divide you. When we do that, you have the power. You have the choice right here, because if you're going to give your time to the cares, and I think, by the way, another side note, I think we interject ourselves into cares and worries that we have no business carrying or worrying about. I mean, we put ourselves into fights, into conflicts with work, with family, with friends, with neighbors, even within ourselves, that we have no business being in. But yet, for some reason, oh man, I mean, I know people like this. When they hear there's a conflict, I mean, it's like, oh, I can't wait to get in that. Oh my gosh, I need to be right in the middle of that. You know these people? Are you one of those people? See, we don't have any business being in everybody else's business. We just don't. And when we do that, we are, here's the powerful part of it. When we do that, okay, we have the power to give ourselves to anything we want, and we are giving our power, right? We're surrendering the power that God gives us to this lesser thing, to this ungodly thing, to this thing that divides us against ourselves and against God himself, when in fact we should be giving it to the Almighty who gives us the power. I don't think I said that very well, but I know what I mean, and I wish you could really get it. Instead of being tangled up and consumed in these thought processes that are draining us, we should not get involved in those and give our thoughts and our thought process to that which fills us. Maybe that's a better way to say it. Give me 30 seconds and I'll come up with a third way if you don't get those two. Stop giving yourselves to things where you're giving your authority in Christ away to something lesser, and keep your authority for things that are greater. for things that you need to be involved in. And sometimes, I'm just going to say on my own, for my own self, sometimes that hurts people's feelings. Well, why don't you want to talk about this? Well, it's really none of my business. Yeah, but no, it's really none of my business. Let's just talk about something else. You don't have to badmouth anybody. You don't have to hurt anybody's feelings. You just have to say, hey, I want to speak things into being that God wants me to talk about. I'm talking about the power of God that spoke the creation into being. That's the power that's in you. Are you going to give that to gossip? Are you going to give that to lies and deceitfulness and to cares? And we have things that we have to care about. I know that. And those even divide us. But are you going to give it to the lesser things that really you should have no business being in? I'm moving on. Others, like seed sown on the good soil, okay? Those are the ones, right? Those are the ones that are sown, and they, when you hear the word and you accept it and you bear fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Let me just say this, that measure of 30, 60, and 100, that's the measure that you take it in. It's not that God's going to say, okay, Matt, you only get 30%. Only your life is going to produce 30% of fruitfulness. I don't know, Charlie, you're going to get 60, and Ashley is going to get 90. She's going to get 87 or 99. That's not what, God doesn't do that. It's us. I'm by the measure that I live my life, that's the measure that's going to come forth from my life. I'm only going to take in 30%. I'm only going to put out 30%. If I'm going to take in 50, it's going to be 50. 60, it's going to be 60. You get me? It's how much you put in. That's what's going to come out. What God says has to be incorporated into our daily life. What God says has to be incorporated into your daily life. If it's not, it's going to go away. The experience that we have in Christ every day, over and over and over again. If not, it's going to be stolen. James, there's a passage in James 1:21 that says that the word of God that is implanted in you, every one of us, let me just tell you, every one of you has the word of God implanted in you already. If you've been to church once in your life, if you've read scripture, if you've prayed or you heard a prayer, or if you've watched online, whatever, you have something implanted. You have some word of God implanted in you. So the question is, are you going to let it come out? Are you going to just take that one more step? There's the metaphor that we've used for a year now. Are you just going to take one more step? One more step. And let me tell you what the step is. The step is surrender. And I believe this so much, is that all of us are in a place where we're just really one step away from the next level of faith in our life. You're just one step away. There's a curtain or some shield or some little barrier that's right beside you that's keeping you from that next step. And all you have to do is just walk through it or walk around it, whatever it is. Some way where you have to surrender. That's the step. And that's where God wants to come rushing in. When you surrender, whatever that is, it might be ego, it might be your misconceptions, it might be your misunderstanding, it might be you think something's the way it should be or ought to be, and it's not. If you'll just let all that go and just allow God to do what God wants to do, I think that's where the next step of faith comes in. Surrender, 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 surrender. 1 Thessalonians. Holy mackerel, I don't know what I just did there. Wozers. Sorry, y'all. Surrender. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says this, and we also thank God continually because you received the word of God, which you heard from us. You accepted it not as human word, but as it actually is the word of God, which is indeed at work in those who believe. It's in you. It's working. It's a part of your life. The question is, are you showing it to others? Is there fruit being born out in your life? And then finally, I want to end with this passage right here. Actually, two more ones really quick. Therefore, this is Hebrews 4, 1 through 4. Therefore, since the promises of entering his rest still stands, let me tell you this. This is the new church. This is the New Testament church. He's making an analogy to Israel, who's trying to go into the promised land. He's talking about the New Testament church really walking and following Jesus. Okay, he said, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. You had the good news proclaimed to you, just as all that have gone before us have. But the message they heard was of no value to them. Why? Because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. See, the obeying part is the part we have trouble with. And obedience comes through surrender. The obeying part is the part we have trouble with, because obedience comes through surrender. They couldn't experience the fullness of God. They couldn't experience the fullness of Christ without that surrender. And then lastly, Matthew 11, 28 through 29 says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. See, with surrender, we think there's going to be this great struggle. We think there's going to be all this stuff that's going to have to happen. And really, all he's saying is, if you'll just surrender, I'll give you the rest. I'll give you the peace. I'll take those burdens from you, because mine are easier. Mine are better. Mine are lighter. They are gentle and they are humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Think about it just like this. If you've ever had a baby, right? Macy did not sleep through the night until she was 3 years old. And it wasn't because we were horrible, terrible, rotten parents. It's just the girl did not sleep, and she still doesn't like to sleep. Okay? We didn't let her sleep with us. We didn't coddle her. We didn't go running in there when she first started crying. That took a little longer, but we didn't do any of that. We did everything we knew we were supposed to do. And even when it was time just to go to bed, and she was so tired, y'all know this. I mean, you've had this child at least at some point in their life. She's a baby. And I've got her in my arms. I can still see her. I can see the whole thing. And she's in her little wrapped up towel hoodie, and she's got her little bear hat on, you know, and she's all nice and warm, and she's got her pacifier, and she would just fight and fight and fight and fight to go to sleep forever. She would barely open her eyes, and I would say, close them. Boy, and she'd close them really fast. And then you could see her eyelids twittering and fluttering, and she's trying to peek through. Macy wanted to play. She's always wanted to grow up. She wanted to be mature. She wanted to have all the best things, and she wanted to be strong and run and jump and play. She wanted all those things, but she was fighting the one thing that she needed to be able to do all that. She needed to rest. She needed to sleep. She needed that was within inside of her already to grow. But she had to surrender to do that. And she never wanted to surrender. How about you? What is it that you need to surrender just to get to that next step? Because I believe when we do, whatever it is you've been looking for in Christ, it shows up. I mean, I believe it. I believe it with all of my heart. And sometimes you're going to have to figure out what the surrender is, where the surrender is. You might give up one thing and God may say, that's not it. And you might give up another and he goes, that's not it. Thank you, but that's not it. You're just going to have to work through this. That surrender. Because I know this. Faith comes from the surrender to God's word, right? Faith comes when we surrender to God's word, and surrender comes from the faith in God's word. I'm just going to give you a minute as we play this last song, and just to really, you can worship, but boy, I just really hope that you will just ask him. Because that's where the conversation is. Lord, what do you want me to surrender? What am I holding from you? What am I controlling? Where you just want me to enter your rest. You just ask him, and I bet he'll show you. And just continue to ask him. Be that persistent disciple, right, in your own life, and just constantly knocking on God's door, constantly pulling his pant leg, saying, show me, show me, show me, show me. And he will. Lord, I want to surrender in those places in my life that I need to. And Lord, just right this very moment, just as I'm thinking about it, and you know this all week long, I don't have a clue where that is right now. But I know you have more in store for me, and I know that in my own self, how I like to control my life, Lord, maybe it's just control. I don't know how to do that. I don't know what that looks like, but I want to do it. Show me. And that's my prayer for all of us. Show us, Lord, because we want to grow in you. Somebody's saying, I don't have enough faith to do this. Just trust me. Everybody in this room has faith the size of a mustard seed. You have enough faith. You need to stop evaluating your faith. Let me just say that. You need to stop evaluating your faith and saying, do I have enough, or is it good here? Or just stop doing that. The question is, will you just be obedient to the faith that you have? We can all do that. Whatever the task is, whatever the ask is from God, we have the faith to be able to do it. So just the question is, will you be obedient? And then the second one is, this idea that somebody just really, I think it's maybe the same family, I don't know, but there needs to be some forgiveness, some repentance within a family that needs to go on. But then the other side is, somebody just needs to let the other person up. You just need to let them up. And by that, I mean, you've got them pinned down in shame and guilt, and they've hurt you and they've wronged you, but it's time to let them up. It's been a long time. So as we surrender that today, Lord Jesus, Lord, I pray that we would just surrender ourselves to you in an act of obedience, that we would not measure our faith anymore, that we would not compare ourselves to somebody else that we think has way more faith than we do, that's a better Christian, that has better gifts. It's about the measure. It's about the measure within us, and that measure that we will also be judged by. So Lord, show us today. In the powerful name, I proclaim this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, as we leave, that we have the measure of faith that we need in this very moment to be obedient and surrender, to be transformed, and to change lives around us. All in the name of Christ, all the people said, amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.